Welcome to the Mets Pod. On today's show, it's our mega season preview episode. We look back at last year's hits, also the misses, and then get into 2023. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Mets Pod presented by Tri-State Cadillac. This spring, be transformed during the Cadillac Move Up sales event. This is your moment to step out of the ordinary and into the extraordinary. Visit your Tri-State Cadillac dealer today. We are thrilled to welcome Tri-State Cadillac as our partner and presenting sponsor here on the Mets Pod in 2023, which means we have some cool new stuff to come, which we'll talk about in the upcoming weeks. Hint, hint, live and on location shows maybe. But in the meantime, here's your reminder to subscribe to the Mets Pod, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can watch on SMY's YouTube channel or wherever you get your shows. Joe, you heard it off the top. We got a fancy new sponsor, man. It's exciting. And we got a really exciting show today as well, because this is the mega preview show. And unlike most shows, Joe, we don't just floor it into 2023. We are going to have some fun, poke some fun at ourselves, look at last year as well, and see what we got right. And ooh, buddy, see what we got wrong. And I am victim number one of a very, very funny one. So we're going to have fun, man. How are you today?
Doing great. And you were going with the car references with Florit, and I'm surprised you missed the put it into reverse for 2022.
That's so right. And this show won't be on cruise control, by the way. We're going all the way as fast as we can go.
You missed that opportunity. But yeah, really excited opening day. Obviously, tomorrow, if you're listening on Wednesday, if you're listening on Thursday, happy opening day. And I'm long off season, long spring training, World Baseball Classic. It feels like the last month has taken about 3 months to get here and just ready for baseball.
So before we get there, I think we have to do a little bit of a segment that's for you, Joe. It's called Roster Rage, right? We have the official roster for this Mets team. Everybody knows the disappointment off the top of Brett Beatty not making the roster. Obviously, Vientos sent back down as well. Interestingly enough, Darren Ruff not making the team as well. His money, they don't care. They just want to put what they think is the best pro-ready roster right now. So big picture, Joe, before we get into all the predictions from last year, the predictions from this year, what did you think of the roster crunch out of spring training?
I think big picture, we're going to see a lot of Brett Beatty this year. We're going to see plenty of Mark Vientos this year. So when you think big picture for the whole season, it's probably not as big of a deal as maybe I and many people have been making of it over the last few days. That doesn't mean I'm any less disappointed, because I think Brett Beatty earned the opportunity to be the third baseman for the New York Mets. And you look around baseball, Anthony Volpe made the Yankees with 20 games of AAA experience. Jordan Walker made the Cardinals with 0 games of AAA experience. And Beatty's also 23, and those guys are like 21 and 20, I believe, respectively. So I don't know what Beatty has to do. I don't know how long he has to be down there. I know Billy Epler had referenced guys like Nolan Arenado and Rafael Devers and how they had like 400 games of minor league experience. Well, Brett Beatty has played like 170 games at third base. So are you telling me you're going to keep Beatty down for the whole season just so we can meet some arbitrary number? I think we'll see him soon enough. If Eduardo Escobar doesn't get off to a very hot start, we're going to see him. So really stunk at the time. I really thought he earned it. But at the end of the day, I think Brett Beatty is going to be a big factor in the 2023 Mets.
I'm with you. And we're going to get into more of that down the stretch, the talk around Beatty, the young players, and of course the roster decisions. But let's get right into what we predicted for 2022, because we have a lot to go through here. Starting with our biggest surprise category. Joe, you hit this one out of the park, I think. You went with Carlos Carrasco. I went with Eduardo Escobar. I don't know if I was entirely wrong, because Escobar was surprisingly so bad all summer and surprisingly so amazing in the fall. So there was definitely a surprise element there, but not what I was going for. But when you look at Carrasco, 15 wins, he had a 3.97 ERA. I think, Joe, I'll throw this to you, but the most surprising aspect to me, or the most important, he started 29 games last year after being hurt so much the year before that.
That's exactly it. I remember us talking about it last year, and it was mostly health related to Carrasco. I don't think anyone here thought Carlos Carrasco was an incompetent pitcher. It was just, I think people assumed he was going to miss a bunch of time in 2022. And like you said, he made 29 starts, was overall successful and won 15 games, pitched kind of like that back end starter. And he's going to have, you know, that same type of role with the 2023 Mets. And I don't see any reason to expect much different from Carrasco.
So this one, bounce back player, I think was by far your best, Joe, but also comes with a caveat that you even undershot it. You went with Jeff McNeil for bounce back player, which included this famous line from you. I'm not saying he's necessarily going to compete for a batting title, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if he's back to being a 300 hitter. Nice job, Joe. He did win the batting title. Here's the best part of this. I went with Dom Smith. That was by far my worst prediction. Woo, man, I swear it only gets better from here for me. It cannot get worse. So props to you, Joe. You absolutely took the crown for bounce back player. Jeff McNeil was one of the biggest bounce back players in the entire National League.
Yeah, I
mean, we don't have to talk about mine.
Yeah. All you had to do for McNeil is just look at his career line. And I thought he was just so painfully obvious to be a bounce back candidate. So, I'm not going to take too much credit for it. I should have said he was going to win the batting title. I would look a lot better. But Dom Smith, yeah, there was not much to think that there was some big bounce back coming from him. But, you know, that this time last year, we held out kind of that last glimmer of hope that Dom Smith would turn it around as a Met. And hopefully he doesn't turn it around in 2023 because he's now in division with the Washington Nationals.
Yeah, I'm not picking him for that. The next one was player to own in fantasy. Joe, I had a big bounce back here. I went with Francisco Lindor. I remember his ADP in fantasy last year. You can really get him in the third to fourth round because of the disappointing 2021. He finished with playing. He had 630 at-bats, so reliability and consistency was there. 26 home runs from the shortstop position, batted 270, scored 98 runs, had 107 RBIs, and swiped 16 bases. Lindor was a fantastic player in fantasy last year, and he did pretty well too. You went with Starling Marte, who maybe underperformed in terms of total steals because of some of the IL stints, but I'll say this, Joe, Marte brought a lot of pop, which is something we hadn't seen consistently from him in a couple years.
Yeah, I had Marte in fantasy last year, so maybe that was part of our decisions, is that we actually took those guys. But like you said, Marte was guy showed a little more power than normal, a little less stolen bases, and I'm excited to see in 2023. He has said that he hopes to be more active on the base paths this year, so I think Marte could be in for a bit of a bounce back in the steals department, and I expect Francisco Lindor to be 2022 Francisco Lindor. I think he's just going to be that going forward. I think he's found his footprint, his comfort, and everything in New York City.
Yeah, I think with the rule changes, it benefits both of them, right? Marte is going to be aggressive on the Bates paths again, and Lindor is maybe poised for a 2020 kind of season from the shortstop position. I mean, there's also not a world to rule out Lindor maybe even having a 25-25 season if we see him be ultra aggressive on the bases this year, something we expect the Mets to do. All right, a little bit of over-under here, and I'll package two of them together first, the pitching ones. Scherzer, over under 14.5 wins. He won 11 games. A lot of it was due to missed time, Joe, because Scherzer was phenomenal last year. You had over and said 15 to 16 wins. I had over and said a lock for at least 15 wins. I think our thought process on the type of Scherzer was right, but the injuries completely derailed the actual total, which, welcome to gambling, folks. That's how it goes. The other one was DeGrom. This one we were pretty good on. DeGrom, we had over under starts, 15.5. He only made 11, didn't even come close to that mark. You had under, Joe. You went with 13 to 14. I just sort of agreed is what we noticed. So we missed on Scherzer, although he pitched like a 15-win pitcher. We hit on DeGrom. He actually went below your expectations, Joe.
Yeah, Jacob DeGrom. I mean, we knew at this point last year when we were doing predictions that he was going to miss some time. We just weren't quite sure how much. I think there was probably thoughts this time last year. If my memory serves, we thought he'd be back around June or something like that. And obviously it went till past the trade deadline when he actually made his debut. So best of luck to Jake in Texas. But, you know, that under felt pretty safe. And Scherzer would have eclipsed 15 wins, I think, almost for sure, had he not had, you know, the multiple stints on the IL that had length and missed multiple starts. So I don't think we were crazy for what we said.
So the next two, maybe borderline infuriating how close we had the market set. Pete Alonso over under 40 and a half home runs. Pete hit 40 home runs. Joe, you and I both went over. We lost somehow on Pete Alonso, even when he hits 40 home runs in a season, which is insane. The other one for the hitting category was Francisco Lindor. Over under 265 batting average, he batted 270. Joe, you nailed this one. You went over and said upper 260s, 270-ish, so you were right on the mark. I went under and said he'd bat 260. So the hitting ones, the markets couldn't have been more perfect here.
Connor hated Francisco Lindor last year, apparently, despite owning him in fantasy.
Yeah, saying this is the guy you need in fantasy. He doesn't hit 270 or 265.
That Pete Alonso line just reeks of every sports bet you ever make, right? That's just the half point is literally the deciding factor. So a good line that was produced by whoever produced that line. I don't know if Jeff gave that to us or what, but it was the perfect line and we just missed.
So the last four, I will pat ourselves on the back here because I've had some bad predictions leading up to this point. You've been rock solid, Joe. The last four, Mets over under 88.5 wins. They won 101. We both went over. We picked win totals in the 90s range. Do they make the playoffs? We both said yes, they did. If so, did they win the division or make it as a wild card? We both said wild card and that the Braves would win the division. I hate us for that, but I also appreciate that we were honest, as we often are on the Mets pod, and we were right. Our team MVPs, you went with Lindor. I went with Alonso. Joe, call me crazy. That feels like a 4-for-4 for both of us.
Yeah, we knocked that absolutely out of the park. So yeah, no, let's see if we could get that right again, because that's ultimately what matters. Worrying about the batting average and the home runs, that's all fun, but let's make sure we get the win total and where they land in the standings right.
All right, so let's get into 2023, because this is where it gets fun, and we get to build up another year where we get to look back and laugh or celebrate or whatever we want to do with our predictions. And I need a little bit of a redemption here. You need to stay hot, Joe. Biggest surprise on the 2023 New York Mets?
I don't think it counts as a surprise for you and me, and maybe some listeners to our show, but I think in the general fan base, I think people don't quite realize how good David Peterson is.
I'm not even going to pivot. Like, that is mine, so we will unify on this. Yes, Joe.
Yeah, like, Peterson ended up winning the fifth spot, but if you want me to be totally honest, I think he's probably better than Carlos Carrasco and Jose Quintana right now. And Quintana's obviously on the IL. Utilizing minor league options was something that the team felt was important to do, which I had no problem with, knowing that Peterson would have made plenty of starts for the Mets this year. Now he has a full rotation spot, and I don't have any expectation that he's going to give it up. I think you're going to see a guy post an ERA in the mid threes, maybe 3.5 to 3.7, somewhere in that range. And I think he's going to be a workhorse that takes the ball every fifth day. And once Jose Quintana is healthy, they're going to have to find a different way to get him into the rotation, because it won't be David Peterson leaving it.
I love it. And I lied. I said that we have to unify on that one. I still have to pick somebody. I can't just trail all the time. So Peterson, the Mets pod, we carry that flag pretty consistently. I'll go with John Curtis here, Joe, which I know is a big one for you too. And biggest surprise is what I mean by, I think he is going to hold down a sixth inning role for this team. And I think maybe the Edwin Diaz situation kind of propels that opportunity for him, because everybody gets a bump. And I think a lot of Mets fans after this spring, and especially listening to this podcast for how long we've talked about the guy, aren't surprised by him. But I think from the general team perspective, John Curtis will be somebody that we look back on and go, wow, that was a really, really savvy move that, I don't want to say saved the Mets bullpen in 2023, but certainly supplemented it. The next one, a little bit of a fun one. Mark Canha, Joe, hit by pitch, over under last year's number of 28. Where are you going with this one? That is an absurd amount of times to get hit by a baseball in one year.
Insane. I'm going to go under just because I think I care about Mark Canha. So I'm going to go under. I don't want to keep seeing this guy get plunked by 95-mile-an-hour fastballs, which, to his credit, takes him like a champ. That he never seems like it bothers him. He just takes it, turns, and runs the first. But for the sake of his well-being, I'll say he'll get under 28 and maybe low 20s.
Yeah, I'll go under with this one as well, just because the likelihood of this happening again It might seem insane, although he was hit by 27 pitches the year before in Oakland. So Canna now is on this little stretch of an upward trajectory. He was also hit by 18 in 2019. So he was hit by 10 in the shortened season, Joe. The shortened season. That means he was on pace for like, what, like the same thing, 28 again. This is who he is. I'm still going to go under, but I'm with you, Joe. He's going to get hit by a lot of pitches with the way he stands on the plate. Joe and I both go under. Okay, the next one, Scherzer or Verlander. We know that they compete at literally everything. First to 10 wins here, Joe.
I go Verlander. I think I feel oddly more comfortable about Verlander's health and durability to go through this whole season. And Scherzer, like, it won't shock me if we see, you know, a couple more IL stints like we did last year. I think that's certainly a distinct possibility with kind of the rest of Max Scherzer's career, that you have to accept that he will miss some time. Whereas, you know, maybe it's just me being hopeful. I think Verlander's going to come here and just make a full slate of starts. And I think that just puts him in the opportunity to reach 10 first, kind of like last year with Scherzer, that he probably should have won 15, but the missed time cost him those wins.
I'll go the other way here. I'll go with Scherzer. I think it's going to be really close. I share the concern with you, Joe, about Scherzer's durability, and not that he will be ineffective this year, just that he's a guy that can miss a start. He's a guy that can miss 2 weeks here or there. But I just think he's so comfortable in the National League. And it's not that Verlander won't be. I just think there might be a slight adjustment period. And I think Max, coming off that injury, not riddled, but there was a few things here and there last year, will be more motivated than ever to make his start. So you go with Verlander, I go with Scherzer. Let's stick with those two. Max and Justin Verlander, over under 55 combined starts. They combined for 51 last year, Joe.
I'm going to take the under, and I think it'll be right around that. It'll be close. I do think that 51 last year is a pretty good number. Maybe I'm thinking 51 to 53. So I think it'll be pretty close, but you're going to have to rely on the likes of Tyler McGill, Joey Lucchesi, and Eliezer Hernandez, Jose Buto, and who knows if a couple prospects don't pop up from AA that will have to make some starts, because I do think there will be just a little bit of time missed with between the two.
Looking at the rest of the staff, who has more wins this year? David Peterson, Kodai Senga, or Carlos Carrasco?
I'm going to go Carrasco. 15 last year. Feel like he's pitching at the back of the rotation. He's going to face some other back-end starters, and I think that's going to put him in position to win a lot of games. And when you look at a guy like Kodai Senga, I think we're very excited about his stuff, his upside, his potential. But I also think there's going to be times throughout the year that they utilize a six-man rotation to give him kind of an extra day as he adjusts to America. And I think that at least has the possibility to reduce his, you know, win total, but not necessarily his impact on the rotation.
Yeah, I think we both agree Senga's the best of the three, or has the most upside, and neither of us are picking him because I just don't know how deep he's going to work into games yet, Joe, in year one. That's a big question for me as he takes on maybe a bigger workload. I'll go with David Peterson here. I think Carrasco will be solid. I think Senga will be effective, but not in position to win a ton of games. I think David Peterson is the guy that, if he can hold down a spot in this rotation, can have that workhorse mentality of, I'm going to go out and give you six innings. They might not be the prettiest. They might give up three or four runs here. The Mets offense should be able to pick him up a couple times throughout the year. Back to Pete Alonso's home run total, Joe. And we're not moving the number because he hit 40 last year. We are setting it right there, over under last year's number of 40. So you don't have the 40 and a half. You could push here. Which way are you going?
Over. I'm going over. The 40 and a half really got us. So it's kind of like the bounce back next week. If the half point does you in one time, the next time I think you take the over again and you double down on it. And I'll say he hits 44.
I'll go over as well. I think it's going to be really tight. I think it's going to be 42-ish for Pete Alonso, but I like the belief in the over as well. I mean, Pete's only getting better. We forget so much that he's a young player, really now settling into the prime of his career. And let's not forget, there's money on the mind. It's a beautiful thing, Joe, when there's a contract extension in sight for Alonso. Maybe that gets him over that 40 mark again. All right, the other end of the spectrum, Luis Guillorme home runs. Over under 2.5 for Louis. He hit 2 last year, Joe.
And 2 was his career high in a season, by the way. I'm going Luis Guillorme sets a new career high in home runs in a season. He hits 3 this year.
I'm with you.
So Luis Guillorme, a new single season home run record for him.
I'm with you all the way. I'm going with three for Louis as well. I'll take the over here. I think it's going to be a sweat. It might come down to, you don't want it to happen, but somebody being banged up and Louis has to play more or whatever it may be. Three home runs for Louis is what the Mets pod is going with this year. All right, Joe, this was my mastermind concoction at midnight when planning this show. And I'm going to toss it to you first. Pick one to happen. A Daniel Vogelbach steal, a Tim LaCastro home run, a no-hitter, and it could be a combined no-hitter, just a Mets no-hitter, a steal of home plate, or someone on the team to hit an inside-the-park home run in the 2023 season.
I want it to be a Vogelbach steal so bad. I want it a straight steal. I don't want it to be a...
the double counts. Catcher.
Yeah,
the double steal counts.
Yeah, I don't want a catcher dropping... like dropping the ball, trying to throw him out or something. I just want him to just jump on a pitcher that doesn't think he's running. But I'm going to go with inside the park home run. Ooh. I feel like it'll be a little different. I could see Starling Marte legging out an inside the park home run this year.
We saw Lindor do it in the WBC.
Lindor
was flying on that, by the way. We know LaCastro has the wheels to do it. And LaCastro, I think, hit two home runs last year, so that would be a pick for some people on this one as well. I'm not going there either. I don't know how long LaCastro will be on the roster, to be honest with you, Joe. That's why I didn't like that one and why I put it in there. It has the highest probability of all of these, but he has to be on the roster and playing to do it. Vogelbach is the one we want to happen. Not going to be my choice. I am going to go with a no-hitter. And the reason being that it can be a combination. Once again, whether it's a Verlander or Scherzer start and the bullpen carrying them home, you have to wonder, do no-hitters, is there a reduction in baseball with the lack of the shift? There is more risk to this one. I wanted to pick a steal of home. We've seen Lindor really mess with pitchers when he's on third base, but I'll go with the no-hitter. So Joe, inside the park home run, I take the opposite approach in the no-hitter. All right, Mets win total, 93 wins. Is the number we have set here, Joe. They won 101 last year. They lost Jacob deGrom that made 11 starts. They added Justin Verlander who made all his starts. Over under here, Joe.
Let's see. So we submitted predictions to SNY, which you could check out on SNY's social media. So I want to make sure I don't misquote myself because that seems like a distinct
always
possibility.
A good play.
I had the Mets winning 97 games, so that is an over for me.
Yeah, I'm going to go over here as well. I am a believer in this Mets team in the regular season this year. I am also of the belief, and I say this on many podcasts, the addition of Verlander has been undersold. I don't understand why nobody discusses how that correlates to more wins, but it should by a lot. I think the idea of Jacob deGrom has overtaken the production of Jacob deGrom. So, and I get it, Joe, they lost Diaz. They lost Diaz, but you don't flip a win total by eight games because you don't have a closer. And you do have a closer. It's just not Edwin Diaz. So, and been watching Taiwan Walker a little bit this spring. I know it's early, but it's looking like the Mets made a good choice by adding Senga to this rotation. And we'll get Quintana back at some point later in the summer. I'm over on this one, and maybe I'm just an optimistic Mets fan, and I don't think anybody can call us that when our predictions last year were Braves win the division and the Mets make it in through a wild card. So I think we're pretty even keeled. All right, here's where it gets a little tough. Got to run it back. Do they make the playoffs? If so, division winner or wild card? You and I did our predictions already. I did pick them to make the playoffs, and I picked them to make the playoffs as the winners of the NL East.
And I did the same. And, you know, I said 97 wins. If there's a year that a 97 win team doesn't make the playoffs, with three wild cards, I don't want to. Yeah, I don't want to know how that system exactly worked. But I'm with you. I had the Mets winning the division with 97 wins. I do think you see the Braves take a small step back. The Phillies, I'm not as in on the Phillies as a lot of people are. And, you know, maybe that'll come back to bite me. So I think the NL East is the Mets division this year. And I think a lot of fans after the Diaz injury and a lot of things kind of going on over the last couple of weeks, at least I've noticed the vibe has been kind of sour on the Mets. And I think you're going to see them really impress throughout the season.
And to your point about the Phillies, who are still a really good team, made the World Series last year, it's not easy a week before the season to replace 30 home runs in Rhys Hoskins. Yeah. And it's not easy to tread water until Bryce Harper's back in what? The early side would be June. So the Phillies, they're a really good team, but they have question marks as well. And it goes back to Taijuan Walker being a big part of what Taijuan are they going to get. So, all right, there is the Mets Pod 2023 predictions coming off the 2022 ones that I thought Joe kind of hit out of the park. I was a little bit more up and down, but we finished strong. And a reminder, you're listening to the Mets Pod presented by Tri-State Cadillac. Subscribe to the Mets Pod at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SMY's YouTube channel, or wherever you get your shows. We're going to take a quick 15-second break and be right back on the other side with our mega mailbag for our 2023 preview episode.
This spring, be transformed during the Cadillac Move Up sales event. This is your moment to step out of the ordinary and into the extraordinary. Visit your Cadillac showroom today.
All right, welcome back. Time to get into the mega mailbag here, Joe. We'll kick things off with the first question from Nathan Hirsch, who asked, how do you feel about Jeff McNeil batting sixth? Feels kind of wasteful to me.
I like him in the five spot, and I think I've seen some projected lineups that have him there. I think Nimmo, Marte, Lindor, Alonso, then McNeil. I think that should be the top five. Who's Nathan have batting fifth? Is he putting Vogelback there? Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I think McNeil in the five spot works. I do think he is kind of in a typical lineup, more of a two hitter. But I think we know how Starling Marte is. I think he fits really well in that two spot, and he wants to play the same position all the time and bat in the same spot all the time. So McNeil, you'll see some days, I think, where maybe they give Nimmo a day off and McNeil bats leadoff. But when you have the full go roster and everyone's healthy and going, I think McNeil in the five spot is a pretty good use of his skill set.
I like it too. And like you said, it's a product of this being a good lineup that McNeil doesn't get to bat one or two. And the fact that he's productive or should be productive as the fifth spot. And we've gone over McNeil's splits by lineup spot before. It's very fascinating to read into. I'm comfortable with that as well. And curious, you know, ultimately what this lineup will look like after the trade deadline, if they go back to that DH. Well, once again, this next one from Alex Cohen, there are a lot of powerhouse teams in the National League. Which team in the National League do you guys think is the biggest threat to the Mets to take the pennant this year, and why? Thanks, gents. Happy opening day eve, LFGM. So we made our predictions, Joe, so we are going to obviously stick to them. You and I had the Mets winning, making it to the NLCS, right? And I had the Dodgers beating them, just being honest here on the show. Joe, you had the same situation, except the Padres beating the Mets. So obviously you see where Joe and I's ideas lie, that the West is this, it's a brutal team. And obviously both of us want the Mets to win the World Series. It's not that. It's just looking at this picture and thinking right now the teams to beat are in the West. We just disagree on which teams those are.
And it could easily be the Dodgers, right? And I'm sure you would
easily
say
be the Padres. Easily be the Very Padres. Easily.
Padres had a massive offseason, and they had a good run in the playoffs last year. They got upset by Philly, I believe, right? Yeah, they lost to the Phillies. So they got upset by Philly like everybody else did. I think this could be the year that you see the Padres make that run to winning the World Series. And that's the final part of the prediction that you didn't say. I had the Padres actually defeating the Astros in the World Series. So look, the Mets are a team that I think is, you know, certainly capable of winning the World Series. They will need to make some additions come trade deadline, whether that's a closer if they need it, just more bullpen depth, a DH, whatever the case may be. You'll see them get active and give themselves the opportunity. But for right now, where we stand today, I have the Padres as the team that takes out the Mets in the NLCS.
This one for you, Joe, I think the answer is pretty obvious. But Ethan Briggs asked, which Mets minor league team will you be watching the closest once the season kicks off?
I mean, when the season kicks off, it's Triple A Syracuse.
So won't be Francisco long, though, right?
Yeah, won't be long. I mean, Francisco Alvarez, Brett Beatty, Mark Vientos, Ronnie Mauricio, a couple pitchers like Jose Buto. I want to see Tyler McGill stretched out as that starter in Triple A. But I'm also a sucker for the lower minors. I Kevin Parada is going to be starting in Brooklyn. So will Blade Tidwell, their first and second round pick from last year. I would expect Alex Ramirez to start in Brooklyn, maybe make his way up to Double A at some point. Jet Williams down in St. Lucie, and that's where I think you'll see some of the international signings from last year. Jesus Baez, guys like that could potentially come stateside and play for St. Lucie. So, frankly, I'm excited about every level because that's me, but it's clear as day. I mean, four of the Mets' top five, six prospects or whatever it is are going to be starting the year in AAA Syracuse, so that's certainly the team to watch.
This one from JMD. If the priority for the last few bullpen spots was optionable relievers, and that's why reliable arms like Andrew Chafin weren't signed, how did we end up with Santana, Negosic, and Tommy Hunter as the last three bullpen spots?
They call it injuries is the best way to describe it. Edwin Diaz is out. Bryce Montes de Oca, the king of this show, is going to be out for months. He's undergoing surgery, which unfortunately is something he's had a lot of in his life. Sam Coonrod, a guy that had a really good spring, he's out for months too. Steven Ridings, the hard-throwing righty they claim from the Yankees, hasn't pitched in a game yet, and he was not on the initial Syracuse Mets roster, so I imagine they're still taking it slow with Ridings. So, look, the reality is they just had a bunch of injuries, and I think with the way it's set up, Diaz could be a 60-day IL candidate, Montes de Oca, Coonrod, those guys could all go on the 60-day in addition to Jose Quintana, obviously. I'd look for the Mets, if not right now, sometime early in the season to go after waivers, guys that get designated for assignment to make room for somebody that are relievers with minor league options, because they do want that. But I just think they just had too many injuries in the bullpen. And at this point, they had to ride guys without options, like you said, Negosic, Hunter, and Dennis Santana. But those guys being out of options isn't as huge a deal to me, because if Dennis Santana struggles, you just designate him for assignment and bring someone else up. But the injuries is obviously the primary reason why we're in the spot where they're using out of options guys.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, right? It's not that they planned for it to go this way. It's right. You know, the original idea was right. It just there's circumstances that stink. And I totally get the point from JMD, but I'll say this as well, Joe, and I know you kind of often align with this. One thing you should really never panic about the first month of the season is the bullpen, how it's set up, because it never looks anything like that come August. It just doesn't. It's something that you can add to at the deadline. You can get healthy later in the year when some of those guys come back. You just find different wrinkles. Guys break out that you were expecting to be total zeros. I mean, we kind of have a habit of doing this every year, but who's to say Drew Smith doesn't turn into a valuable eighth inning guy this year? He's always had the stuff to do it, and maybe we are being hopeful, but I'd rather find out and see what these guys have. And if it costs you a couple games in the first 2 months of the season, it's going to be infuriating, but it's a long, long season. So if anything, try not to stress about how the bullpen is currently looking on paper for opening day, especially when there are good pitchers at the top of it. Like there are four arms at the top of this that were like, these guys are long time proven relievers that can handle different roles. This next one was admittedly my favorite from Tim Wiesner. He said, can we all agree how excited we are for the start of the season? Kids and I have tickets for game 7 out of 162 next week in Milwaukee. I know Tim is an out of New York State Mets fan. He said, my 10-year-old daughter is so pumped to actually wear her Lindor jersey to a real game instead of at home in Iowa. Hashtag let's go Mets. And I agree. I think we don't really forget, because we kind of live this. We do the show every week. We don't shut down in the off season. But it's true. Opening day is amazing. Baseball being back is amazing. We love the offseason, but it gets stale eventually. There's only so many times you could talk about Andrew Chafin over a six-week span, Joe. So real baseball will be back. I appreciated Tim's enthusiasm, and I love when Mets fans show up at away ballparks and are really loud fan base. And the Mets fans have been really, really excellent in that aspect for a couple of years now.
Yeah, we have our guys over at the 7 Line, Darren and them, do a great job traveling. I know they're sending a bunch of fans to Miami for opening day. So, Mets fans travel well, and I'm very excited for opening day. I don't know how you can call yourself a big baseball fan and not be excited about opening day. Like, sure, maybe, you know, halfway through April, you're like, let's just get to the warmer months and let's get to real, you know, more important baseball, pennant races, etc. But how could you not get excited for opening day? I mean, to me, I don't see it, but I've seen a lot of it on Twitter, and I don't know if WBC, the excitement around that has kind of soured some people on opening day, but I can't wait for Thursday and Mets at Miami and Scherzer and Alcantara, just real baseball. And to me, I'm just excited to see Mets baseball every day on my TV, Gary, Keith, and Ron in my ears, and Gelbs and the whole SNY crew. And, you know, even when they go nationally, like, I'll still watch those and enjoy them too, but I'm ready for just every day, regardless of the time that it's on, I have the ability to put Mets baseball on my TV.
I'm with you. It's definitely the sound of my household and something that I cherish. And Joe, you know, I won't let you close out this show without some closing thoughts, because it is our mega season preview episode. So what do you got here, Joe?
First off, happy anniversary to the Mets Pod. It was a year ago today on March 29th that the Mets Pod was announced. Our first episode launched April 5th. So next week we could have maybe a true celebration
of
the first episode. Yeah, a toast to the Mets Pod. But happy 1 year, Connor. Happy 1 year, SNY. Been a fantastic first year and excited to see what's coming this year. But let's get down to brass tacks. Let's go Mets. Baseball
time. Absolutely. Well said. And yes, a happy 1 year anniversary, not only to us and our great relationship with SNY, but the fans, the listeners, watchers, however you get your podcast content. We love interacting with you, whether it's through the mailbag, whether it's when Joe and I are at the stadium and people just give us always a really nice hello. So we love it, and we're excited we get to continue it into the 2023 season. And a reminder that we have more fun things planned for the podcast this year that we'll be talking about soon. Some great guests, as you guys have come to know. We've been really lucky to have this basically entire coaching staff on. We've had a lot of different awesome guests associated with the team, but special events as well. So stay tuned for that. This is the Mets Pod presented by Tri-State Cadillac. This spring, be transformed during the Cadillac Move Up sales event. This is your moment to step out of the ordinary and into the extraordinary. Visit your Tri-State Cadillac dealer today. A reminder to subscribe so you never miss a show. Subscribe to the Mets Pod, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can watch our podcast on SNY's YouTube channel or wherever you get your shows. Thanks so much, everybody. Let's go Mets as we kick off this new season. And we will talk to you next week.